Everybody, welcome. We're so glad, whether you are here in person or joining us online, to be able to share this time together with you this morning. If you would, take this time to turn to the book of James in your Bible, chapter number 3. And we'll be looking at that passage as we continue our series, Stretched. Thriving in the midst of life stresses. Today, we will be looking at learning to control our tongues. Now, I know none of you and none of you listening online have this problem, but we're going to address it so you can help others with it. Actually, if we're honest, it's getting harder and harder to control our tongue today. We're fed up with being cooped up. Many have been stretched to the limit with how this virus has invaded nearly every part of our lives and seemingly put us all under house arrest. We just want to get out again. We want to go back to work again. We want our lives back again. And sometimes we get angry about how long this pandemic is taking. And sometimes we actually say what we're thinking. We take our rants to social media, and before we know it, a simple comment about our frustrations escalates to disagreements and then to insults and to arguments. We say things, we type things, things we should never have said. And now, they're out there in cyberspace for all to see forever. And sometimes the same scenario plays out in person. We're trying to express our feelings and opinions to someone, and boom, it begins. It's getting tougher today more than ever to watch what we say, what we type, at school, at work, at church, online, and even among family and friends. But listen, our verbal missteps are a universal experience. We all trip on our tongues. And it's not just today. James wrote a letter going back clearly or nearly 2,000 years ago that's still as relevant to the church today as it was then and to the world that we're trying to minister to. James chapter 3 verse 2 says, "We all stumble in many ways." Amen? Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect and able to keep their whole body in check. Now, the reality of it is this. We all live in the first part of that verse. We all stumble in many ways. What we want is to live in the next part of that verse. What James claims is this. If you can control that muscle in your mouth, it's only 2.5 ounces. How hard could it be? But if you can control that muscle, you can control every muscle in your body. Your diet, your workout, your drinking, your sexuality. If you can control that one muscle, you can control everything. Is that true? Well, here's your answer. Are you ready? Listen carefully. You will never know. No one's ever done it. I know I haven't. Have you? To quote another modern prophet, Jimmy Fallon, he started a new hashtag that went viral, and it's this. Hashtag, why did I say that? You have to love Doug's response. Doug wrote, "I'm a farm boy. When my wife was in labor, I said, 'I'm not nervous. I've seen this a bunch of times with cows.'" Whoa, really? Hashtag, why did I say that? And Christina says this, "While taking kung fu, my sensei complimented me on my quick learning. I said, 'Thanks, I was in marching band.'" What? Hashtag, why did I say that? And how many times have people asked a lady, "When are you due?" Only to find out what? She's not pregnant. Hashtag, why did I say that? We can all admit we need to tame our tongue. You want to know how? Listen carefully again. You can't. Well, thank you, Pastor David. This has been a great sermon. Hey, listen, it's not me. That's what the Bible says. Take a look. James chapter 3 now, verse 7. "All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." Well, here's today's sermon in a sentence. Are you ready? If you can't tame it, you better restrain it. Let me show you how high the stakes are by looking at a quote from Jesus. "Everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words, you will be acquitted. And by your words, you will be condemned." Now, you may be here this morning, or you may be joining us and listening online, and you may not be a Christ follower. You may not believe you will be judged by some God after you die, or even believe there is a God. But you know what Jesus said is true. You will be judged by your peers, by your co-workers, by your neighbors, by your classmates, by your family, for every word you say. We have got to learn to restrain our tongue. Do you remember when language was first used? Most of you do. Remember Genesis chapter 1? God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, "Let there be dry land," and the dry land appeared. He said, "Let there be plants and animals, and let there be stars and a sun and a moon." And with his words, he created a world. And by the end of the chapter, he created you. And from the beginning, God and man walked together and they talked together in the garden. They shared a language. They shared words. He blessed them and told them to multiply and fill the earth. He told them to subdue the earth and to rule over all creation. He gave them instructions about their diet and commanded them not to eat of the tree of knowledge. And when they disobeyed God and ate of that tree anyway, they had a conversation about hiding from God and their disobedience. And sharing words, speaking his language, communicating with God in such a verbal way is unique to mankind and all of creation. Mankind, whom he created in his image, in his likeness. Doesn't it follow that your words, like His words, create worlds. With our words, we create a world of music and poetry, worlds of relationships, and sometimes worlds of havoc. Our words can bring us together or push us apart. Our words can bring peace and comfort to others and insult and injury. Our words can spread love or they can spread hate. A few years back, CNN reported about a couple in Hot Springs, Arkansas, who were arrested for child abuse. Police came and took them away, and Child Services took their 4-year-old daughter to a safe home. When they asked the little girl her name, she said, "Idiot." Every word you speak is creating a world. That's why it's so important to restrain our tongues. We're going to look at three passages in James chapter 3, and with each one, here's what I'm going to offer you. With each one, I will offer a test, a trap, and a tool. The test will allow you to examine yourself for a moment and let you know if this is a particular problem in your life. The trap will show you ways that we express that fault, that use of the tongue wrongly, how we're not restraining our tongue in those situations, and how we misuse our words in those situations. And the tool, I hope, will help you overcome that particular trap if it's your problem. Got it? Here we go. Test number one, is this controlled? In other words, is it restrained? James chapter 3, verse 3 says, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal." Now listen, Barbie and I grew up as horse people. Well, she did. I drove a horse trailer. That sort of qualifies me. An average adult horse weighs 1,100 pounds. That's over half a ton. And you can control that beast with this. A bit. And not the whole thing. The bit is just this metal part. And when you put it into a horse's mouth, you can control it. With one hand, you can turn it to the right or the left or come to a full stop. James goes on to talk about rudders on a ship. It's a small part of the ship, but they control the whole ship. And he says, that's your tongue if it is restrained. But if your tongue is not restrained, it's not like a bit. He says it's like a spark. Pick up at the end of verse 5. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. So what's the difference between a bit and a spark? A bit has a harness. A spark does not. An unharnessed tongue is like an unrestrained spark. It will go in whatever direction the wind takes it. And it will set an entire forest on fire or someone's world. But if you have it under control, you can control the whole animal. When we just let our words fly out, uncontrolled, unrestrained, we fall into two traps, gossip and slander. Now, Actually, gossip and slander are the same thing. Gossip is the cowardly act behind somebody's back. Now, if you want to put out the word fire of gossip, you do the same thing we do to put out any other fire. You starve the fire of its fuel. You have to stop adding your words to the gossip. You have to stop spreading gossip with your words. You have to starve it of its fuel. And gossip's fuel is our words. The root of gossip is envy. We often want what someone else has, not necessarily material things, but that promotion, that should have been yours. That award, that private office, that bonus should have been yours. So you begin to destroy them with your words. Sometimes you start it. Sometimes you just add your words to the mix. 103% of us will hear gossip this week. Any of you get that? You're all math majors. You must have taken Common Core math. We will all hear gossip this week, at work or school, at home, maybe even at church. Try this the next time you do. When you hear gossip, find something to praise about the one who is being gossiped about. And then say it out loud. You see, praise is kryptonite to gossip. When you hear the gossip around you, just say, "Yeah, but do you know what I really admire about them?" And then just listen for the hush to cover the conversation. Truth test, okay? Truth test. Raise your hand if you know someone who is a gossip. All right, if you didn't raise your hand, you're a liar, not a gossip, so that's okay. That's okay. It's okay. We all do. We all know a gossip. Do you tell them your secrets? Do you tell them your problems? No. Why? Because they're a gossip. The problem is you are the one who's gossiping. You see, when you gossip, you ruin a reputation, but it's not theirs. It's yours. Let me give you a tool that will help you get out of this trap, if this is your particular trap. If you wouldn't sign it, don't say it. And by the way, when you say something on Facebook or in a text, you just signed it. James said, no one can tame the tongue. Today, he might have added, and no one can tame the thumb. Okay, test number two. Is this me? Your words are a biography describing who you are. The problem is, for most of us, there are two of us. Follow me. Look what James says beginning in verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father. Boy, we just had a great praise service, didn't we? We praise the Lord with our tongue. And with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? No. My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives? Well, of course not. Or a grapevine bear figs? No. Well, neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So why is it you can produce both blessing and cursing with the same mouth? I think it's because there are two of you. There are two of me. Each of you have the potential of being two very different people. One is in the image of God, and the other is in the image of the world. You can be a Christ follower and be like Jesus, seeking God's will, speaking the truth in love, caring for others, loving the unlovable, helping the weak. Or you can let the world around you pressure you into its mold, wearing the same clothes, watching and following the same celebrities, using the same limited four-letter word vocabulary, bullying the weak, basically just being another one of the everyone who's doing it. What you do with your words will determine which biography you're writing. And the traps we fall into when we try to create a false persona, say and do things, that's really not us, but we do it. We fall into these traps: flattery, lies, and arguing. I want to highlight the lies for a moment, because for most of us, that's the most dangerous time to trip over our tongue. Why? Because lies are harder to admit than anything else. We don't want to admit we were lying. And when we don't admit our lies, we add to them. In an attempt to cover our tracks or continue to conceal the truth, when we don't confess our lies, we end up compounding our lies, usually with more lies. My daddy used to always say, "Son, just tell the truth, because then you only have to remember one story." Every time you tell a lie, you got to remember two: the truth and how you variated from it. And each time you add a lie to it, you've got to remember yet another one. Each of these traps is a way of creating a world that doesn't really match the person you are or the person that you really want to be. And what's the root of these traps? Pride. We're too proud to admit what we've done. We're so proud that we will lie to protect the image others have of us. We will flatter others. We will argue if necessary to uphold the image that our lies have portrayed us to be, and not who we really are. After all, would they like us as much? Would they let us be a part of their world? Could we impress them if they knew the real me? Many people spend way too much time and resources being somebody they're really not, just to impress people we don't really like. Thankfully, many people will realize that they're tired of living a lie. If this is your problem, here's a tool that will help you. Nothing can come out of you that is not already in you. If you cannot tame it, you better restrain it. We have to take care and make sure our pride is in check. Well, let's move on to the third test. Test number three: is it wise? We're going to start reading at verse 13 now in James chapter 3, and you're going to think maybe James has switched subjects and gone on to another topic, or maybe he's shifted gears here a little bit, but he's not. He's right on point. He's still talking about our tongue. Look at verse 13, starting there. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by good deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it and don't deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven. But listen to this description. But is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving and considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Now, pay attention to these two things from those verses. Verse 16, where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Contrast it to verse 18, those who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Wise words bring peace. Foolish words bring discord. Here are three traps we often fall into when we don't choose our words wisely: nagging, complaining, and mockery. Nagging divides a family. Complaining divides a company. Mockery divides a nation. Aren't we seeing it today? In our homes, our businesses, and our land? What's the root of all this? What's the root of nagging and complaining and mockery? It's ambition. You want something. You want it now. You want it your way. And if you don't get it, you punish the other person by nagging or complaining or mockery. What's the antidote to that? Now, this is not in your notes, but it's worth writing down. The antidote to all that is gratitude. Be thankful for what you do have. What's the tool that will help us with all of these traps? Ambition tears down. Wisdom builds up. So let me ask, are your words building your family up, building your business and your team up, building our nation up? Or are your words causing division and tearing them down? Listen, this is so important, and I appreciate you giving me your time to listen, giving us time to tune in with us this morning. So let me give you something to take away, something you can take with you and apply to your life this week. Here's our takeaway. Perform an online word audit. Let me explain. Here's how you do that. Keep the text messages you send out this week. And at the end of each day, go back and read what you have said to others. See the words that you used. Think about how you would have felt if you received that text. And ask if you could have, should have, chosen better words to create a better world with them. And then go to your Facebook page. Read what you post each day and ask the same questions. Perhaps some of you need to sit down with your family at the table and just ask them if you have said things to them today that they feel you could have said better. And let me just throw this in selfishly. Unless you've done it, you have no idea how much of a struggle Pastor Jeff and I have every week preparing a message to you from God's Word and trying to make sure we're using His words and not ours. Sometimes we blow it. Sometimes there's a little more David and a little less Jesus when the words come out. Sometimes it's a slip of the tongue, expressing my own frustrations, emotions, and opinions. And I'm so sorry when I let that happen. And I always ask your forgiveness and understanding, your kindness and your prayers for Pastor Jeff and I each week. You can't imagine the times we have asked one another, should I say this? You would also be amazed how many times Jeff will say to me in particular, oh, I can see you saying it, I just can't see Jesus saying it. And he'll tell you, I just pound my desk and go, I hate you. I hate those Jesus checks, you know? What we're trying to do is to use our world, our words, to create a world for you, to see what your life can be as a Christ follower, but with words spoken in love to tell you the truth of just how difficult being a Christian in a non-Christian world can be, while all the while assuring you it is worth it and it is the way to live. Learning to control your tongue will stretch you. And if we can't tame it, we better restrain it. Through his actions as well as his words, God has said to each one of us, I love you. I know you, and I still love you. So much so that I gave my son to take care of all that trouble you caused with that little muscle in your mouth, as well as the many, many other sins in your life. If you will accept his gift to you through his son, he will give you a change that's just unbelievable unless you're living it. It's called a newness of life. It's a newness of life that we want to invite you to be a part of if you're not. And if you are, it's a newness of life that perhaps needs to be a renewed life. One where we truly strive to tame our tongue, which we know we can, but at least we can refrain it, and let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be those that will praise him always and lead others to following Jesus. Father God, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for loving us so much that, as we just said, you do know us. You know everything about us. You know not only everything we've done. You hear not only everything we say. You know our hearts. You know what we're thinking. And I praise you for those times, Father, when you intervene and say, I know what you're thinking. I even know how you feel. But please, don't say it. All of us can look back in our lives, and we don't have to look very far than just each day, probably, at things we really wish we hadn't said, or things we wish we had said differently, or things now that we wish we had another chance to say again in a way that maybe would make more sense and be a little wiser and kinder with our words. But we know all those ifs, not what life's about. This is what life is. We have this little muscle in our mouth that controls so much, not only about our lives, but with our words, we create worlds for people around us. How can we tell the world around us that you love them and forgive them when they can look at us and see that we won't even forgive each other sometimes? How can we tell people that they are loved and they're special and they're unique and they're just in your image and like you when we fight and bicker and divide and all those things among ourselves. A lot, not all of it, but a lot could be made so much better if we would learn to refrain our tongue. Learn to restrain it. Learn to harness it and put it under control, the control of your Holy Spirit. So today, Father, we just pray that we'll do that. Surrender our life to you, every part of our life, starting perhaps today with our tongue. Please, please, Father, take control of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.